I believe and have been convicted for a long time that expository preaching is the best preaching. I don't think there is really any other kind of preaching best than to preach God's word contextually. We call that a pericope. From pericope to pericope, from context to context, as the Spirit of God has given us his word, that we should hear the preaching of the word in expository preaching. There are times, though, providentially, when we depart from expository preaching to do topical preaching. Topical preaching is still preaching, is still somewhat expository, but it's not as strict in its exegetical preaching or methodology. But today I use as for my base source the scriptures, of course, and we're looking at Romans chapter 8, particularly in verse 22. But let us begin reading with Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 18 through verse 30, focusing on the words in verse 22 and 23 of Romans chapter 8. So here is the reading of God's word from Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts together this Sabbath day morning. Congregation, we know that often fear breeds doubt and mistrust. It can often, and often does, cripple and paralyze. It's a plague that can ravish the people of God as well and hinder us from walking confidently with the assurance of faith with our God in doing his will. We have to admit that COVID-19, novel coronavirus, brings in some kind of fear and mistrust. When we are overwhelmed by fear, the only thing that can displace it is the powerful presence of God displayed through his word and displayed in his glorious providence in the stability of the gospel. The only stability that we can find in this world is the gospel. Not the United States Constitution. Not the Westminster Confession of Faith. Not the Heidelberg Catechism. Not the consistory or council. But only in the gospel. And when we would depart from the gospel, we'd get more unstable. Or unstable. We need to take hold of passages like Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We can find comfort in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. After our Lord told his disciples in John 14:18 that he would always be there to comfort them by saying, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. He told them all the more that the Father and the Son would indwell them in John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Interesting, isn't it? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is emphasized much in Scripture, and it ought to. Jesus here tells us that we have the indwelling of the triune God, both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to direct us, to comfort us, to bring conviction to us when we get lazy and when fear comes into our lives. Because of COVID-19, the U.S. government has declared a public health emergency and issued the highest level of travel warning, and other countries have followed suit as the virus spreads an infection. In response, universities, schools, public institutions have suspended or modified in-person gatherings until further notice. Even civil liberties have been, in some cases, suspended. That's not unusual in history. Those who know anything about the Civil War knows that Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. Churches have canceled Sunday services. That's not unusual. That happened in 1917, 1918 with the Spanish flu as well. But they only closed, if I understand it right, if I understand my history, for 4 to 5 weeks. The question for the Christian church, which has been entrusted with the gospel declaration, is this: is the prediction of a new normal true? We can answer the question simply by yes and no. Well, let's try to answer this question in 2 points. First, the new normal. And then lastly, the normal. First, we're being told all over the media, oh, it's a new word in the vocabulary, isn't it? Come on. It's been going on, really, for the last couple years. The new normal. The media loves the word. We're going to be in a new normal. Expect a new normal. After the pandemic and the riots go away, life is going to be different. I'm not sure how much it's going to be different, but we can say with them that it will be different. But you see, congregation of the Lord, this is the paradigm of Scripture. This is the paradigm of Scripture, that whenever the Lord God moves providentially or sovereignly, there's always a new normal. The Scriptures teach us to expect a new normal from the consequences of the fall of man and the Noahic flood to the birth and death, resurrection of Christ and the second coming. We have the new birth. That's a new normal. We have the new creation. That's a new normal. We have the new normal set at Pentecost, did we not? Wasn't that a new normal? We have the new heavens and new earth to eagerly wait for, as Romans 8 taught us and teaches us. As often the case, crisis creates opportunity, especially for the church. The church is never afraid of persecution. The church always prospers under persecution. That's the testimony of Scripture. That's the testimony of history. Churches are encountering people forced to acknowledge what they are wholly uncomfortable with. An unwanted reality of a fallen world enslaved into a chaotic cosmos. Isn't it something? Yes, there will be a new normal. If by that term you mean, will there be some changes in our culture or government? In other words, if we defund the police or have a stay-at-home laws, then for sure we know there's going to be a new normal. Because if you defund the police, you're going to fund the criminals. That's a new normal. When the government starts dictating and enforcing, even suggesting, not just dictating and enforcing, even suggesting laws against the church assembling together for whatever reason, then there surely will be a new normal. I never thought I would live to see the government dictating anything to the church. Never. We call that government action tyrannical. Don't you ever, government, come into the church and say when we can and when we cannot have service. Don't you ever come in and say you cannot celebrate the Lord's Supper. You have no authority to say that. So yes, if those things go unchecked, in some sense of the term, we can all expect a new normal. But that isn't different. That isn't so hard for us as people of God, because we know the paradigm of Scripture. We know we're living in interesting days. I think it's kind of wonderful, isn't it? Sad? Sure. I live in a fallen world. But it's interesting to see what God's doing, when he's doing it, and how he's doing it. On the other hand, the Scriptures' paradigm or pattern of the new normal is not always bad. I'm not sure if we all want to go back to the normal, properly defined. If by that you mean a sluggish church with regard to her purpose and mission, I don't want to go back to the normal. If you mean a church that's entertainment-based worship is infected to church, I don't want to go back to the normal. If the normal is the plague of Arminianism, with its free will and easy believism, and its antinomianism, not all but most, then I'm not interested in the normal. If the normal is anti-confessionalism, then I'm not sure I want to go back to that normal. If the normal means, in other words, neglecting the ordinary means of grace, I don't want to go back to the normal. congregation. Yes, in a real sense, our desire and need is for a new normal. We just define it a bit different. We call upon the Lord God for a Holy Spirit revival of the gospel in the churches. And if it takes a pandemic to do it, then God bless us with a pandemic. We call upon the Lord God with great tears that he would wake us up of the necessity of the means of grace, the ordinary means of grace, to love the preaching of the Word of God, to love the Lord's Supper, to love discipline, to yearn for discipline in my own life and in my own family and in the church. We call upon the Lord God, just like the psalmist did in 94 that we read, to bring vengeance upon those who seek to promote wickedness. We call upon God for the new normal, where hearts love to serve God rather than men. Serve God in living a life of holiness. Serve God in living a life of gratitude before the Lord God. Yes, we should expect a new normal. Because when God moves sovereignly and providentially in culture, in the church, whenever he moves, a new normal will arise. But lastly, though, the Word of God teaches us and reminds us that in this life, on this side of heaven, there will always be the normal. For the believer, we live in this life being transformed. We live in the new covenant. We live in the now, but not yet. But for the unbeliever, they always live in the normal in the sense of the old, the decaying, no hope, and it's filled with corruption. You see, that is the normal in this world. In other words, we have to admit that the new normal that the prognosticators are projecting, that kind of new normal, is ultimately a denial of the Word of God because it is politically and socially based. In a very real sense, in an ultimate sense, in this life, the unbeliever or the natural man, there will never be a new normal. Because he knows nothing about the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. The natural man knows nothing about being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He knows nothing about the power of the gospel. So for the unbeliever, there will never be a new normal. What is never going to change is the natural man's condemnation and sinful habits. What is never going to change is man's total depravity. What is not going to change is the fact that man's greatest enemy is not intolerance, racism, or inequality. Man's greatest enemy isn't Satan. It's the Lord God, the sovereign creator and judge of all. That's never going to change. That's the normal. What is not going to change is the holy nature of God and our need for the Savior, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What's not going to change is God's commitment to his people. What's not going to change is his provision, supplied in the church. What's never going to change is our Savior's redeeming, caring work through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, what we need is a Savior. We need a Savior, not Black Lives Matter, or any other left or right-wing political group. What we need is repentance and faith. That's what we need. What we need is the gospel. You see, when I went to the Black Lives Matter rally yesterday, I didn't hear anything about faith and repentance. Nothing. And so what it was nothing but a facade. You can march down the street if you want. You can turn over cars if you want. But unless God moves upon the heart, there will be nothing more than the normal. And we should expect the normal. What we need is what Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. What we need will always be our Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the scriptures teach us that the normal is our deserved condemnation by the Lord God and our desperate need for His grace. The scriptures remind us of the dreadful impact of sin and the need for God's grace and mercy. With regard to sin, there will be no new normal, just the normal. The pandemic teaches us that it is good to remember that even creation itself is often the enemy. Creation, being filled with all kinds of poisons, bacteria, viruses, infectious secretions, yuck, and a whole sort of creepy things in and outside of our bodies. When humanity fell into sin, the created order shared in that fall. Paul wrote that here in Romans 8. Verses 20 and 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Creation, every molecule, is now under subjection to frustration. Although beautiful at times, and times indeed, nature is not what it was created to be. Nature has become frustrated, not by its own choice, but by God's judgment, Romans 8, verse 20. It is there that we're told the will of one who subjected it. That is God's judgment. Yet at the same time, the subjection is accompanied by hope or liberation. It isn't all bad. There is hope. There is coming the new. There is coming the new heavens and new earth. There is coming liberation. Not now. But it's coming. This is why we are told that the creation, and so therefore ourselves, can wait in eager expectation for the new creation. When the Black Lives Matter people did their thing and walking down the street, I said to myself, Lord God, I'm eager for that liberation someday. Liberation from my own sin. And liberation from their sin. Liberation from that police officer that's got his knee on the neck of that man who's handcuffed. I need to be liberated from that. And I am liberated by that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And my expectation is one day I'll be with my Lord and Savior in heaven. Yes, nature has its beauty, but only for a moment. Even the human body. Because everything in nature wears down. eventually to die. This is the normal. And so nature, or this world, is a realm of pain and suffering. It has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth in Romans 8, verse 22. There is relentless pain as things decay. In this world, there will be no new normal in that sense, just the normal. But every believer should not stop there, because the Lord God will bring renewal by His grace and for His glory in bringing us to heaven to be with Him. The normal reminds us constantly about our need for the Lord's grace in the gospel. This is the normal because we cannot save ourselves from the simple virus to the whole issue of sin, guilt, and condemnation. How weak is man? Look at God gives us a little virus, and we run to the caves, didn't we? Shut down everything. We run like cowards. Yeah, we should be careful and prudent. It is a virus. Let's keep it in perspective. The normal is that with God's grace, sovereign and free grace, saving and electing grace, enacting and enabling grace, there is full assurance, joy, and hope. We are told by the apostle in verse 21 of Romans 8, the creation itself will be liberated and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Instead of frustration, there will be fulfillment. The now and not yet pattern of Scripture will find its fulfillment in new heavens and new earth. When we consider the majesty and greatness of the oceans, mountains and valleys and forests and so on, it staggers the mind to imagine what the world will be like when creation will finally be totally set free to display the glory of God. That's that expectation. Boy, I can't wait for that. What about you? Instead of pain, there will be only joy that we share in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is why the best metaphor, as Paul explains it in Romans 8, verse 22, for the current state of creation is childbirth. The pains are very important and necessary because the world is giving birth to a new version. Slowly. But it's coming. And this is our hope. This is our desire. This is the future, congregation, for the believer. This is our future with Christ. The fulfilling, transforming, renewing, joy-giving future that God's children look forward to on account of our Lord's death and resurrection. This is Paul's answer to the question about whether our future glory makes our present suffering worth bearing. Even in the midst of any and all pandemics and riots, there is the promise of God's presence and help. This is the normal for every true Christian. Listen to the words. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Let us be mindful of the reality of God's presence, and that He is always there, always listening, always with us, always helping us, always watching over us in the foundation of the truth of the gospel. This is the normal for every believer. Jesus put the normal this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's the normal for every believer. So in times of disaster or plague, even riots of all sorts, the Lord is reminding us to prioritize, be filled with gratitude, and prepare for our life to be with Him. The only hope is to be freed by the truth of the gospel, because presently the Spirit is transforming every believer into the image of Christ. Romans 8, verse 10. Is it giving us a gradual and internal freedom that this world knows nothing about and could care less about it. He has given us a gradual and eternal freedom. That's the birth pains. From the effects of sin and death, slowly making us more like Christ, our elder brother. Verse 29 of Romans 8. Congregation, this is what we eagerly wait for. As we live in the normal in some sense, and seeing the new normal come. This is what we eagerly wait for, as the apostle wrote in verse 23 of Romans 8, our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Finally, it's all put together for the glory of God. This is God's promise to every believer, that while in some sense we live in the normal, now there is coming a day when we will live and be wrapped in the glory of Christ, which will be the new normal. May we find comfort in that truth as we live each day, as we go through the normalcy of life. Remember, a new normal is coming, and that normal is called the kingdom of Christ. May the Lord's kingdom come quickly, and may we pray, Maranatha. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that such things are beyond our thinking sometimes. How in one sense we're living in the normal, and yet there's going to be a new normal. And yet, Lord, you're teaching us each and every day to grow and to look towards the new normal while we're living in the normal. Lord God, we ask you, Lord, to help us to be filled with gratitude that we have hope in our hearts that's been placed there by the power of the Holy Spirit to look through the tragedies and sufferings of life, through the mysteries of life, to look right through them and to see the coming kingdom with Jesus. Oh Lord, one day we're going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you will feed us. And we will declare the tender mercies of God. And our indebtedness to the grace, to the Lamb that sits on the throne. And we will sing with one voice. Because we are one people with one true faith. It's grounded in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord God, help us to persevere. Help us to live for your glory and for your honor in the midst of a fallen world. As we wait for its liberation, Lord, as we groan each day, help us to pray for one another, to reach out for one another, and to be nourished by your love and care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.